another one, though this was no dream. This gentleman, he had attempted suicide, and he woke up in the hospital and turned to his bedside, and there was a hat man sitting there looking at him. And he said, "I almost had you," and he disappeared.
I just felt like there was somebody kind of around.
Y me estaba observando, era un tipo como un señor, digamos, ¿no?
All around the world, people are experiencing the same terrifying vision in their sleep.
It was just a black silhouette, completely black. I couldn't make out any features.
I never saw a face or eyes, but just this dark kind of outline of a man.
Dad,
remember
the story now. He's a thin mom.
A tall man with some type of a brimmed hat.
There were three of them for me, and the one in the middle was always the guy in the middle. He had a hat on. He was obviously the boss.
У них лидер мужчина в шляпе цилиндре. Они меня пугали, утаскивали душу на ночь. Tenía un pánico, pero no me podía mover.
When your heart is beating, you know, so fast, you think you're gonna die.
For decades, a terrifying and faceless figure has appeared to countless witnesses during dissociative episodes or between waking states. Unsettlingly, these sightings have increased exponentially in the last several years, and witness descriptions remain bizarrely consistent. A shadow person manifests in the darkest recesses of a room. It wears a brimmed hat above a featureless face, with no discernible nose or mouth. It towers over its victims staring, and its presence feels malevolent. Witnesses are paralyzed by fear, unable to scream for help until the hat man slowly fades away, leaving them alone in the darkness to contend with what they saw. Encounters with the hat man have spread like wildfire through Reddit and TikTok. Yet still, we are no closer to understanding what the hat man is or represents. And why are so many sharing the same waking nightmare? Many witnesses claimed that they saw a shadow person wearing a brimmed hat and sometimes an outdated coat. The figure was dubbed the Hat Man and was described as a malevolent being that brought feelings of intense dread. Bizarrely, unlike descriptions of other shadow people, the Hat Man seemed intrigued by observers, always watching them. As stories of the Hat Man became increasingly popular, Timothy Brown created the Hat Man Project in 2009. Its purpose was to aggregate witness sightings and establish some sort of broader public understanding after his own experience. Witnesses began posting consistently on the site. These stories are submitted via a form on the website and reviewed by Brown before publication. The majority of the Hat Man's sightings happened before falling asleep or after waking up during the night. One of the posts reads, "I saw the shadow Hat Man as a young child, no older than 6. At the time I shared a bed with my parents and slept on the edge closest to the bedroom door. Now I can't tell you how many times I saw him, but it was certainly numerous and terrifying each time. Although all he would do is just stand in the doorway and stare. He had a long dark coat and top hat with like a green fog that rolled behind him. I would see him and be terrified as a young child, to the point of waking my mother, to then only turn back, and he was gone. I felt crazy, like I was losing my mind. Even as a kid, I knew I was awake. I would leave stuff a certain way to prove to myself I'm not just dreaming. I knew the difference. This was something else entirely, however, because it wasn't that he was there, or that he would stare. I could feel the hatred he had for me. I could feel the harm he wanted to cause, but couldn't because he wasn't able to come in. I remember once him pointing directly at me, frozen like a statue. I saw him often as a kid. What seemed to stop it, though, was after my mother told me about a dream she had where she was drawing crosses on all the doors and windows in the house using blood. Once his visits stopped, I just sort of put him out of mind, never talked about him or anything. But many, many years later, I had a conversation with my younger sister, and we were telling ghost stories we experienced, and she then told the story of how she also saw the Hat Man, and gave the exact description of what I saw. I had never ever told her about before, and had never heard her talk about it either. I was shook to say the least. And furthermore, when I found out others have seen him too, although no one has seen the green fog that we saw. It was about 8 years ago when I first began having strange experiences. Awakenings would be a better word. I began to be very conscious of things I'd not seen before. New learnings and understandings. About 2 years after this began, I was sitting in my lounge room, eyes closed, just relaxing. When I opened them, I saw in front of me, not my usual TV cabinet and such, but instead what looked like a transparent pub bar, with bar stools and everything. Sitting on by one was a very black shadow, so black it made all other black around it look grey. Shaped like a man in an old-style hat and coat, he leaned crooked on one elbow, staring at me. Don't know how I know he was staring, as he had no face at all. Then I sensed him grin. Still no face, but yet I knew he was grinning. He slowly raised his hand and tipped his hat. Then it was all gone. The bar, the Hatman, only to be left confused and feeling heavy somehow. I've seen a lot of weird things, and this was way up there. Was he approving something I'd done? Was he simply acknowledging me? Is he bad? Or is he here to test us? See if we will submit to evil doings. Don't know, but he's real, and I'd love to know more. When I was a kid, I had this recurring dream every single night for a while. I was terrified to go to sleep every night because I knew I would have the dream. I dreamed that I was walking through the front door of my house at night. Then I would look to my right where my dad's office was. I would see a shadow man sitting in my dad's chair wearing a hat with a brim. I was immediately paralyzed with fear. I would try to run, but I'd just fall on the ground. I'd try to scream, but nothing would come out. Then he would stand up from the chair, and I would wake up. One night I had the same dream, but when I got to the part where I couldn't scream, I realized I was dreaming, and I said to myself, just breathe. In my dream I closed my eyes, relaxed my body, drew in a deep breath, then let out a scream. My grandma in my dream came running down the stairs and saved me. After that I no longer had the dream. I had a lot of strange things happen to me when I was a kid. I would play in my room, but always had my back to the wall because I felt like someone was behind me. I heard voices saying my name. I saw things at night outside my door. I slept with my back to the wall and always slept with a dog. I was religious and would pray every night as a child that these things would go away and that I would be left alone. As I got older, the activity started to go away. Fast forward to my 20s. I hadn't dreamt about the Hat Man for a very long time, and I am not sure if this series of dreams is even related to the same thing. I had left my church and considered myself atheist for a while, but when I was 25 I started stepping back into spirituality, but not through the church this time. I was rediscovering my own spirituality and was looking back on my childhood experiences again that I had refused to think about for a long time. I had this series of dreams over the span of a couple months that went like this. I came across this old house, and when I went inside, I became stuck in there. The hat man took me into the basement. The basement was an entire community of people. The air was thick and heavy, muting all the sounds and forcing you to move in slow motion, almost like I was underwater. When I walked, it was like I was pushing against some sort of resistance that slowed me down. When I talked, it sounded like someone had their hands over my ears. The hat man never spoke to me, but without speaking, he told me I couldn't leave. Then he just left and let me wander around. All of these people were stuck down here with me, and the hat man had brought them there. Sometimes the hat man would take me into this room where there was a desk, and he would sit behind the desk. I would sit in a chair in front of him, looked very similar to my dream as a kid. When I entered this room, the air was no longer heavy, and I felt like I could breathe again. I could move freely, and it was like a break from the thickness outside. I would sit in the chair and look out a large window. Outside the window was a dark, stormy ocean with massive crashing waves. It was unsettling, but I preferred to be in that room, out of the thickness. Long story short, one day I finally escaped the basement, and I ran back home to my old house where I first dreamed about him. I ran to my dad and told him that I had been kidnapped and I had just escaped. I told him to come with me so I could show him where I had been held for what felt like months. He followed me to a house down the street and the hat man stood outside. I pointed and told my dad that was the man who had kidnapped me. My dad walked up to the man and started pleasantly talking with him like he was an old friend, like he knew him, and they were just catching up. I was furious because this man had just kidnapped me, so I walked up to them to say something. The hat man turned to me and looked at my forehead. I had a symbol on my forehead, and he touched it, erasing the symbol, then said, "You can never come back. I haven't been back since." This dream took place over the period of a couple months. During that period, I tried to paint something to capture what I had been dreaming. I still don't know what to make of it. Some have seen him with red eyes. Others report a featureless dark face. But he's always tall, 6 feet at minimum. And even more often people say he's about 8-10 feet tall, forcing him to crouch while standing. Imagine opening your eyes at night and seeing a hunched figure bending unnaturally away to keep from hitting your ceiling fan with the top of his hat. Such a human action on an inhuman figure has to be especially eerie. They say he sometimes carries a gold pocket watch that he'll occasionally glance at, which is interesting. It suggests that he's sticking around long enough to be curious about the time. Could it be a prop used for mockery, suggesting to his victims that he has all the time in the world? Luckily for most who meet with him, the hat man doesn't seem intent on inflicting physical harm. What he's actually after is slower, more insidious. He just watches the sleeper, sometimes arching his overlong body over their bed. It's said that even though he doesn't touch his victims, they can feel evil emanating from him in waves. They can feel that he wants to do them harm. The theory is that he uses a look-don't-touch approach for a calculated reason. It creates a heady brew of confusion, anticipation, and fear in his subject that he can then feed off of. This may be the main purpose of the hat man's visit. The bedrooms of his victims are his demonic charging stations. When he's not hovering over the sleeper, he employs two other common methods of viewing his prey: looking at the sleeper through the mirror, or sitting and watching them from the corner. He can appear to anyone at any time, but the pattern seems to be that the hat man often comes around people who are in turmoil, not unlike the appearance of poltergeists who feed off of the strong energy of those in distress in order to manifest.
When I was 7 years old, my family and I, we moved into this old house. It was nearly 100 years old, and we had seen all kinds of things. Like, the first time I ever had a ghost encounter, I was also 7 years old. All these experiences I had were nothing in comparison to the Hat Man. I don't know why. I don't even know what that man is. So it was just, I don't know why it was so terrifying and why it still keeps me up at night sometimes. But it just has this very heavy negative force to it. And I don't want anyone to experience it because it's awful. So I was 7 years old, and this is the first time I've ever had my own bedroom to myself. My family, they all live upstairs, and I'm the only one downstairs. And I'm just sitting in my bed, and I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, I just drew this really strong... I just, like, all of a sudden really noticed my closet. And I'm just staring at it, and I'm basically, like, frozen. Like, I can't move. And the door of my closet slowly creaks open. And this black figure is just standing there, really tall, staring at me. And I was just staring right back at it. It's just this dark black silhouette. It slowly starts to creep out of the closet. And I freak and I just jump and I'm like hiding underneath my covers and I'm shaking. I can't breathe properly, right? You know, after a while, I'm like, okay, no, this is just my imagination. This is nothing. And so I finally work up the courage and I peek through my covers. And it's there, but it's closer now. It's like right at the edge of my bed, just staring. And once again, I'm just filled with this disgusting, black, dark feeling. And it's just the worst feeling I've ever experienced. I keep saying I'm terrified, but I can't express how terrifying it was. Like, it was the worst thing that's ever happened. But yeah, so I peel open my covers one more time. I could move, but I couldn't. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just couldn't leave my bed. I was just stuck in my bed. And it just really wanted me to know. Like, it was there and it was watching me. I guess the weird thing is, for some people, the Hat Man is just like a sleep paralysis figure. But for me, like, I've seen him plenty of times when I'm, like, awake. Or not even in my own bed. Like, I'll be walking around the house, or I'll be, I don't know, like out with friends or something. I don't really know how to explain how he stares at you, because he's just this tall black silhouette, and so it's like you can't see any of his features. You can't see like the buttons on his jacket. You can't see his nose or his eyes or his mouth. You can't see anything, but you know, like, it's staring right at you.
I started researching shadow people in depth in 2004. This research started as a result of getting a lot of emails and inquiries in a short period of time from people describing pretty much the same kind of experience, a bedroom invasion by a dark entity that looked like a tall man wearing a cape or a coat and often with a hat. These were terrifying encounters for people, and they were wondering, what is this entity? What does it want? How do I make it go away? There are different types of shadow people. There is what I call a core experience, and this is the bedroom invasion, where a person wakes up, usually in the middle of the night, to find in their doorway or by the bed what they first might think is a person. It's a very dark silhouette that looks like a man, about six to seven feet tall, wearing a coat or a cape and often a hat. There are no features. Sometimes people see eyes, but usually they're featureless. And these figures radiate an intense amount of malevolence. People feel very frightened, like they're going to be attacked. Sometimes the entity doesn't attack, it just observes, which is quite terrifying. And sometimes it does attack by jumping on the person in bed, attempting to choke or suffocate them. The odd thing about these entities is that they seem to have mass when they want, and they seem to be able to be paraphysical when they want. That is, if they reach out and attack someone, the individual feels like they're being assaulted by a very muscular, heavy human being. But when these entities want to disappear, they will go through walls, windows, they will disappear as smoke, vapor, they will slide under the bed, go into the closet where they disappear. So they seem to have the capability of being physical in our realm, and yet they can defy the laws, natural laws of physics at the same time. I wondered for a long time, why do these entities need to wear hats? And usually the hats are crazy hats. They're out of fashion, they're weird looking, they range from old-fashioned stereotype detective hats to floppy hats almost like fedoras, stovepipe hats like the Victorians wore, cowboy hats. Why does an entity need to wear a hat? Well, there are two possible reasons. And one is that these are intelligent entities. They are very smart. They know exactly how to engage with people. They know what they want. And they may have figured out that their silhouette looks a little more terrifying, or maybe even a lot more terrifying, if they're wearing a hat. Hats are often symbols of authority. But I think that it has more to do with how they shapeshift, because the jinn have really no physical form. They can shapeshift into any form they want, and these seem to be for a variety of reasons. The jinn have indicated interest in generational bloodlines for their own purposes, and so they follow families, and wherever those family members go, wherever they move, whoever the descendants are, there seems to be a pattern of these kinds of experiences that plague them. Then there are shadow people who attach to individuals on a temporary basis. They're very drawn to negative emotions. And so if a person goes through a lot of upheaval in life, like disease, a financial issue, a divorce, loss of a job, something that really upsets them and turns their personal life into chaos. This is likely to generate depression, unhappiness, a sense of hopelessness, and also anger. All of these emotions are very attractive to the jinn because they can feed off those emotions. Individuals going through these kinds of crises may find themselves attacked at night by these literally energy vampires. And when they are able to recover and get their lives back into a better balance, then there's nothing for these beings to come for, and they go away.
You know, after you mentioned Babadook to me last time, I actually rented that and watched it. My girlfriend had rented it before, but I didn't watch it. But I watched it. And the similarities on that, I had to get up out of the room. I had to leave the room. I couldn't watch it because all I seen was him standing there in that television and doing those things. Like, I could literally picture him honestly doing that to somebody. And the similarities of these characters that they're making now are so, it's so real. So the visions I've seen of him and then what they're making on TV, it's too real to me to sit and watch those. I can't do it. I have to get up and leave the room and come back and try to do it again. And my panic and anxiety level go through the roof when I watch it. his photo and his image is coming up everywhere in everything. And I'm sure not all these people have seen it, right? So they've got to get the idea from somewhere, or the thought has came into their mind from something or someone. I honestly think he can do whatever he wants to do to influence somebody to visualize and to create a character that is him. He's the devil. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
The following stories have been taken from the subreddits The Hatman and The Paranormal. So I've been seeing a lot of Hatman posts recently on this subreddit, and I wanted to share an experience of mine that happened when I was about 5 or 6. I understand that what I'm about to write may paint my father in a bad light, but trust me, he's changed for the better, and my relationship with him is great. My father used to work as an overnight security guard for a company that harvests peanuts. I don't want to give the location of exactly where it's at, but it's in a pretty small rural town. He used to tell us stories about the land being bad. The area, according to him, where the peanut harvesting plant was used to be a Native American burial ground. My father claimed that he used to see this man from time to time. The man was dressed in all black and wore a black hat, so he called him the Man in Black. Whenever my mother had a problem disciplining me and my siblings, she would drive over to his job and tell him. He'd then proceed to spank us or give us a good tongue lashing. One day, though, I did something that really upset my mother. I wish I could remember what it was, but she proceeded to take me and my siblings over to my dad so that he could take care of the problem. Cell phones weren't really a common thing at this time, so it wasn't like my mum could call my dad and tell him over the phone what was going on while driving over there. We used to go to my dad's job for several other occasions, like bringing him food or just hanging out with him, so he wouldn't know the reason for us stopping by until we got there. We got to the peanut plant, and my mum quickly proceeded to tell my dad what I did, and he became very angry at me. He took me out of the back seat of the vehicle and started to get after me for what I had done. Again, I really wish I could remember what it was for, but from what I do remember, he picked me up and faced me towards the dark field that was across the old country road. Standing there on the edge of the road was a man wearing a black trench coat and a black flat-brimmed hat. The peanut plant had these blue-tinted security lights, so while I couldn't make out the features of his face, I could see that it was rather pale with a blue hue to it. I started to cry and flail while my father continued to hold me up. "I'm going to take you over there if you don't get it together," my father told me. I continued to cry and struggle as I stared at the man in black. He just stood there, staring at me. "Do you want to go over there?" my father screamed. Through my sobs, I told him, "No, Daddy." He then proceeded to yell into the field toward the man in black's direction. "Do you want him?" I'll never forget this next part. The man in black answered back, "Yes, bring him here." It didn't sound like a yell, but it was loud enough to hear. At this point, I was crying, "No, no, no," while still being held by my dad. I didn't want to go with a man in black, and I was really scared. My dad put me back in the vehicle where my siblings were sobbing as well. My brother asked me if I was going with a man in black. Apparently, he could see him too. We stayed huddled in a seat in hopes of concealing ourselves while my parents talked to each other. My mother got back into the vehicle a couple of minutes later, and we began to leave. As we were leaving, I gathered enough courage to look out of the window towards the dark field. The man in black was gone. There was only wilderness. That's pretty much it from that experience. Every time we had to drive by the peanut plant at night, my brother and I would always duck from the window and try to avoid looking outside in fear of seeing that man again. A couple of years ago, I asked my father about that night, and he claims he doesn't remember the incident at all, but he does remember seeing the man in black on different occasions. I'm glad that my brother still remembers, though. We talk about it from time to time, trying to speculate on who that man was. story too, so I'm new to this sub, and I've been wanting to share this encounter for a long time. I've just never found the right place until now. I've told family and friends, but I'm always met with a look of disbelief and amusement, as if I'm loony. This memory is the most vivid memory from my childhood, and I still remember how I felt physically and emotionally to this day, 2 decades later. I must have been around 6 or 7 years old, and at this time we lived in a 200-year-old cottage in the middle of some woods, in the middle of nowhere. It sounds pretty cliché, I know, but my dad got fed up with living near people after his business went up in literal flames. We only had 2 neighbors, one way down the track road, and one right next to us, as the cottage was split into 2 houses. One night, I was suddenly woken up by thunder, which I was scared of back then, but it wasn't too bad, and I would have gone back to sleep if it wasn't for something I caught in the corner of my eye. At that very second, every hair on my body stood up, and I got a chill that went down my spine. As I looked over to my left, that's when I saw it in full. A shadow of a tall, broad man standing right next to my bed. He had no features. He was just pure shadow, and so black it was like I was looking into a black hole. It also looked like he was wearing an old-fashioned collared cape and rimmed hat. Very Victorian era. He did nothing but stand there, and even though I didn't see his eyes, I felt as if he was staring right at me. I also remember how he was swaying ever so slightly, like he was breathing. I just remember being so petrified that I didn't want to move after slowly moving my hands to push the duvet further over my face, in fear that if I did move again, he would do something. I don't know how long I lay there for trying not to look at him again, but eventually I got pins and needles in the heels of my feet from not moving them. People have often told me it was probably sleep paralysis, but I was wide awake, and I was able to move. I just didn't want to. I've also never experienced sleep paralysis before this night. Eventually, I must have passed out from exhaustion. And the next thing I know, it's morning, so I quickly sit up in my bed and look around my room, feeling thankful that I'm alive. I hear my dad getting breakfast ready downstairs, and I'm about to climb out of bed when I suddenly hear a crinkling noise like someone poking a plastic shopping bag. And sure enough, I had one full of mini toys under my desk. I look over at it, thinking it's probably just a mouse. Countryside problems. But as soon as I do, the handles of the bag shoot up, like someone's just grabbed them and pulled them up, almost lifting the whole bag. At that point, I leaped out of bed and ran downstairs, almost risking breaking my neck as I skipped over 2 steps at a time. And then I ran into my dad, whose first response was, "Are you all right? You look like you've just seen a ghost." "Well, I saw something. I've never forgotten that night, or that shadow. It's as if it left an imprint on me, and I've told a few people about it, but no one believes me. A few years ago, I even Googled it, and lo and behold, apparently, I'm not the only one who's had this visit from this phenomenon called the Hat Man." I also read that for some people, it appears to families going through distressing times, such as when families are split apart. And sure enough, my parents were recently divorced. He also apparently appears a year or two before something bad happens. And a few years later, my dad suddenly passed away. A cursory internet search of the Hat Man will unearth a treasure trove of testimony. There are simply too many stories to count. Inevitably, some will be fake, either fictions dreamt up by those seeking to capitalize on the popularity of the phenomenon, or misidentifications of ordinary happenings. Many, however, can be said to be strikingly convincing, especially when considered as a collective and all the similarities. Also, many story sharers remark how they did not know anything of the Hat Man until they thought to share their experience, only realizing through Google searches and comment sections that what they had experienced was not unique to them. Patrick James, who claims to have suffered Hat Man sightings for 3 years between the ages of 15 and 18 at his family's lake house in Missouri. Throughout his video testimony, he expresses his fear and anxiety at simply speaking about his personal experience of a large, tall shadow with a trench coat and a wide-brimmed hat in his bedroom window. Similar to others who claim to have seen the Hat Man, Patrick told of terror and confusion as to the figure's purpose, explaining how he would study it in an attempt to both debunk it as a misidentification of an ordinary shadow and to see if it would move or otherwise do something that would help to illuminate upon its purpose for being in his bedroom. Ultimately, however, it never did. It would only watch, and so, as Patrick suggests, feed off of his fear. Countless testimonies in videos, forum posts, and even within the comment sections of other testimonies describe how being scared seems to energize the Hat Man. In the words of one experiencer, who claimed to have encountered the figure nearly every night for years between the ages of 5 and 8, my fear grew, and the Hat Man persisted. And so, for many, the nature of this being is clear. He is fear-inducing, and thrives off, indeed, harvests and consumes that which he provokes.
Corey.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
All right. So you remember when you were telling me about the Hat Man a while ago?
Yeah. My buddy Matt. Yeah.
You say your buddy Matt. He's seen like the Hat Man like a few times. What was that all about? Can you tell me about that again?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my buddy Matt. Like, you know, you've met him a couple times. We all grew up in Henderson.
Yeah.
And his family had a house right down there, by Basic High School. And it was a pretty old house, you know, they just bought it. They're living there for a couple years. But it was an older house, you know, it was built probably, I think, in the 70s. And Matt told me he was in middle school, I think. It was like 5th or 6th grade or something like that. And it was just, you know, he told me that he always had a weird feeling there. He, like, you know, he always thought the house was haunted or some kind of weird stuff going on or whatever, you know. But he never thought anything of it until they're there for about a year, he said. He said they're living there for like a year, year and a half or something like that. And all of a sudden, one night, his sister started screaming, freaking out, and ran out of the room, ran into the, like, living room, and turned on all the lights in the house, and woke everybody up, and was freaking out, and their mom came out, and their mom and dad woke up and came out, and asked her what happened, and she was freaking out, saying that there was some man standing in her room right next to her bed, like, staring at her, and he was wearing, like, a long coat and a top hat or something like that. Like a black coat and a top hat. And, you know, they're like, what? They didn't believe her or whatever. They probably thought, like, she was just, like, dreaming or whatever. So they told her to go back to sleep. So they all went back to sleep, and nothing else happened that night. But I guess, like, it happened again, like, two nights later, it happened again. She freaked out, screaming. They ran into her room. She was saying the same thing. There was some man with a top hat and a black coat just standing at, not even at, next to her bed that time, but at the foot of her bed, and was just staring at her for a minute, and she didn't freak out at first. She was just staring at him, trying to, like, you know, trying to brush it off, kind of, like, you know, think maybe am I having a nightmare or whatever, and then he, like, pointed at her or something like that. That's what he told me. He said, like, he was staring at her, and then pointed at her, and then once it pointed at her, she started freaking out or whatever, and that's when she woke up everybody. And this happened like a couple of times, I guess, where this guy would just be standing in a room next to her, like staring at her. And this went on for, like I said, you know, a couple more times, maybe a couple more weeks, whatever. And then it stopped and wouldn't happen for about a month, I think. And then Matt told me that they
are you driving?
It wouldn't happen anymore, but she's still freaking out. She's still scared to be in the room, so they switched them. So they put Matt in her room, put her in Matt's room. And then he said after about a week of being in that room, he started kind of freaking out and having a feeling, right? And then one night, he was in the room for about a week and a half, I guess. He woke up one night, and he was kind of just like, he sat up in his bed, and he was kind of looking around the room. And he looked over to the corner of the room, and he saw the guy that his sister used to see. He saw the guy standing in the corner, just staring at him while he's sleeping. And he freaked out. And, you know, he started screaming, and, you know, the same thing, his parents came in, and he told them, and they're like, okay, well, this is kind of fucking weird, you know?
So, did anything else happen?
Yeah, actually, one night, it was about a week and a half after they moved Matt into that room, and, you know, it was right after he saw the guy for the first time. I guess a few days after that weekend, they all went out for, like, family dinner. They went out for, like, a dinner and a movie or whatever, you know, a little family night.
Right.
And they came home. Matt told me that I came home around, like, 10 or 11 at night. And they pulled up to the driveway. They pulled up to the house. And all the lights were on in the house. The alarm was going off. And they're, you know, they're freaking out. They're like, what the hell? Like, the thing is going broke or whatever. So Matt, his sister, and his mom stayed in the car. And his dad ran in the house. Went and checked the house. He said that all the lights were on, the alarm was going off, and the back door was open. And so he checked the entire house. No one was in there. Everything was fine, and nothing seemed to be missing. So, you know, he was confused. He had no idea what was going on. He was thinking, you know, someone broke in and left. You know, someone broke in. You know, the alarm started going off. I don't know. He had no idea, but he was like, well, no one's here. The house is fine, you know. So he told them, he told Matt, his mom, and his sister to come into the house. So they got out of the car and went to the house and, you know, kind of just started walking around the house and just checking stuff. And his sister was standing in the living room and started screaming, freaking out. And so they all ran in the living room. And she was sitting there, she was, like, pointing and staring out the window, freaking out, and they all looked. And Matt said when they all looked, there was this tall, dark man wearing a top hat and a black coat walking across the front yard.
Holy shit.
And, like, he walked all the way to the edge of the yard, and so they couldn't see him anymore, and then his mom and dad ran out, and he's gone, couldn't find him, and they've never seen him since.
Holy crap. Do they still live there?
No, they don't. They moved away.
The Hat Man stands apart. Not merely that, some have suggested that he leads, indeed commands lesser shadow people, firmly painting him as an entity which ranks higher than a spirit of the dead. In short, many people have condemned the Hat Man as demonic. If he truly is ancient, ever-present, and evil, the chances are he has already seen you. Some say he might even be Satan, the devil himself.
Is he here? I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person, somebody really big. But he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Have a good night's sleep, folks.